this is not the best thing to do, but I had to. There was no other option, because every time we had a conversation, it was a badgering. Or every time it was a text or an email, it was all your fault, all your fault. And they never heard the apology or ever heard anything else. And I finally just waited for them to stop talking to me, and they left and went somewhere else.
Welcome back to the Making Money Podcast, where we talk about how to make more money, keep more of what you make, and make your money work harder for you. I am your co-host, Benjamin Foss, and before we get started, I have to say this is not financial advice. Sitting across from me, as always, is the wonderful entrepreneur and business owner, Paul Ng. Paul, how are you today, my friend?
I am very well, thank you, Ben.
We are enjoying a lovely weather time week. I think a full week of warm weather in the middle of winter, a nice break from the chilly cold. And we have just wrapped up our series on how to unstuck your business. And if you haven't had a chance to listen to that, I really encourage you to go back. If you're a business owner who's dealing with plateauing revenue or feeling stuck in your business, these questions that we asked, I mean, I really think it's some of the best content that we've made up to date. And so I really encourage you to take a listen to that if you haven't already. Now we're talking about a new topic that we have not yet covered on this podcast, but it has to do with when your business or when your employees or even you yourself as a business owner make mistakes with customers and what to do about it. Every business makes a mistake. Even Chick-fil-A will mess up an order and put pickle on your sandwich from time to time when you didn't want pickle. Every company will make mistakes, and the way that you handle those mistakes can be the difference between having a negative brand ambassador, someone who spreads negative word of mouth about your business and tells you, never buy from Joe because Joe's going to mess it up and won't do anything about it, versus the positive brand ambassador, the one who has their issue resolved and says, you know what? Joe made a mistake, but he made it right.
Absolutely. And it happens more frequent than not. And it's always behind the doors. Nobody sees it or hears about it unless somebody you know brings it up.
There are a very many different ways that you can tackle this issue. But before we talk about what we should do, let's talk about what not to do. So, Paul, if I'm a business owner and let's say I have a house cleaning service and my maids just completely screw up this client's house. They, you know, moved some stuff and didn't put it back. They completely forgot to clean one of the bathrooms. There's a bag of trash that's sitting next to the garage, but never made it to the trash bin. And a client calls me angry and wants me to do something about it. What should I not do in this situation as the business owner?
Well, the very first thing is you don't want to come back with a rebuttal of excuses. That's the last thing we want to do. And we definitely don't want to be negative about the situation, nor do we want to put our staff down for maybe a mistake that was unintentional versus intentional, because we don't know what the whole situation was.
We definitely don't want to be defensive. We don't want to interrupt them or put down their problem or act like it's no big deal. You know, a lot of times when people are complaining about something, it's because like 10 other things have gone wrong in their day, and this is just the thing that they get to complain about, and all the energy from the other 10 things comes out on the 11th one. And, you know, I used to live with a roommate who is like that. He would have a really bad day at work and someone made some snarky comment to him and he's cranky or whatever. And then he would be mad because someone used the last of his ketchup, and, you know, he loved ketchup, and he would just take out all the pent up frustration from the day on the roommate. And then later he'd be like, sir, I'm sorry. I took out all my whole day of frustration on you. And it was really not about the ketchup. It's not that big a deal, you know, but as a business owner, you may be on the receiving end of that. And you have to understand that sometimes just, you know, you don't want to cut people off. You don't want to be defensive or diminish their issue, because that can just cause the anger to rise to another level.
Absolutely. And you never know what this situation came from. It's usually a catalyst. Something has created this domino effect, as we would call it. And if you're in that business where you have employees, the fear is maybe, and that's a big maybe, that what happened was not intentional. That's the big picture of not knowing, right? Was it intentional or not intentional? But we always have to get the benefit of the doubt. And how I would always look at it is, if I was the business owner and I had those employees create this mess, as we would call it, the worst thing you could do is turn around and start defending yourself to your client. That's the worst thing you can do. And really, stepping back, you would want to be treated as someone with respect, knowing that the customer is always right. That's what we're told. How do we make it so we're both right? And so that's not a he say, she say, stabbing, bickering warfare here, and you lose a client, because we're all about here trying to figure out how to retain your client from that problem.
One of the benefits of listening through the customer complaint is you may actually learn some valuable things about your business or about your employees, and understanding maybe they are being negligent or neglectful, or maybe there is a process or a procedure or a system in place that's supposed to safeguard that mistake, and it's not being followed, and that's why the mistake is being made. There's a lot of learning opportunities sometimes, even in those angry or intense situations, that can be very unpleasant and taxing to deal with. But I think approaching it from the perspective of trying to learn versus trying to defend can help bring about the result, the problem resolving attitude versus the defensive and deflecting attitude.
Absolutely. And we want to also realize that we have been in a similar situation, and we want to try to take a step back and look at what it is we did when we had that happen. It's not always identical. It's not about having the identical situation, but it is about how do we resolve the problem? How do we resolve where it even came from? So stepping back and trying to figure out, as you said, from an experience that we would all have from this, take that step back and go, what did I learn from it from myself when I was in the same situation?
Continuing on the example of what not to do in these situations, there's a story that my dad likes to tell from time to time of one of the first trips he ever made to the UK. And, you know, over there, they're not as fond of putting ice in water. That's just not something they do as often. And he asked for ice in the water, and the waitress just kind of looked at him and just kind of like rolled her eyes and just kept walking, like just completely ignored the situation. So then when she came back around, he asked again, and she's like, your water's fine. You know, just completely just throwing it out, like, no, like your request is invalid or whatever, like you're fine. And, you know, that is a great example of what not to do with customer requests or customer complaints or whatever the case may be. You know, just completely dismissing it out of hand or saying like your problem is not a problem is not a way to make a happy customer.
Absolutely not. And we have to make things right regardless. You know, the purpose of having your own business and being a business owner is to be able to resolve these situations. It is about taking into account that we are here to serve our clients. We're not here to serve ourselves. You know, that's one of the things that we always forget. Sometimes we believe in our hearts that we are the business owner and we know it all. And, you know, maybe it's a pride thing, but really it's all about how do we make things right? How do you keep things right? And what it is about the customer's complaint that we're not hearing. Are we not intentionally listening, or are we intentionally listening and dismaying like the waitress? What can we do to help better this situation, especially when they're complaining to you, especially if something went awry or something is wrong or something is ordered and it's not the right thing that they ordered, and we're trying to fix this. And it's really fixing is what we want to do. We don't want to have an argument. I don't want to have an argument with my clients, of course, you know?
That brings up a really interesting point, because one of the mistakes that a lot of businesses make is not empowering people on the ground to make it right. And depending on the size of your business, if you have managers or employees, like, I'll give an example. So I used to work at a Comfort Inn and Suites in Kentucky, and my manager there, who's a super great guy, after you'd worked with him for a while, he would empower you. It's like, hey, any thing goes wrong, because I worked the night shift a lot and he left at 4, you know, for the day. So, you know, I'm there by myself to resolve issues. He said, you know, up to a certain dollar amount, if you feel like it's necessary to make the customer happy, do it. Like, he empowered me as the front desk person, like, not a manager, just a, you know, low level wage earner. I think I made like $8 an hour or something back then, or I forget what it was. It wasn't very much. But he empowered me in those ways. And, you know, it was very rare that I needed to do something like that. But if he had not given me that power, there were situations where I would not have been able to make the customer happy and to make them satisfied with the resolution, with the experience right then and there. Because that's another mistake that can be made, is taking too long. Because the sooner you put out that fire, the less it'll burn down.
Absolutely. And it's all about timing. It really is. When a problem arises, it should be addressed as quick as possible and resolved as quick as possible. And sometimes it's out of our control. An example is, we have no control over the internet. If that internet goes down and you're down for 2 weeks, which has happened to many people, you're reliant on gathering that information somehow. So does that mean you have to go to a library? Do you have to step out and figure out how to get on the internet? That in itself is a chore. I've had that happen, and I'm in a standstill because I'm on a VPN logging into the server up in La La Land, and I can't do that from anywhere. I'm literally dependent on that computer at my desk, and if it goes down, I have no other way of doing this. You can't log in from your phone because it's connected to your computer. So you have to think about, how do you address that problem? And if that does happen, what do you do? And if your client is only through an email communication and there's no phone number, that's going to make it even more difficult, right? So you have to think about these things cognizantly to realize that, okay, if there is a situation that is a technology-based situation and it's down for 2 days, how do you get a hold of your customer if you have no way of getting a hold of the customer, right? You're dependent on your phone, but you just realize that your phone is your personal phone and it does not have that business email because it's connected directly to that server, which you have no access to. So you have to think about these things cognizantly. So when that does happen and you're back up and running, the first thing you want to do is address that customer or customers that you have issues with and communicate effectively. And whatever effective communication looks like to you versus somebody else may be totally different. I like to communicate verbally with my clients. I'm not really one to just shoot an email back and forth unless that customer or client does not want to speak, and they usually just like to do everything via text and email. Then you're really, that's all you can do. You're at the whim of your texting and email to figure out what is happening. So once again, addressing your situation appropriately and effectively, taking into consideration some empathy and not taking it personal is huge, and responding accordingly versus reacting inappropriately. Because the first thing that comes out of our mouths that we want to come out of our mouth is a reaction. How dare, or you're wrong, when the reality should be, you know, sir or madam, let me find out what exactly happened and so I can address this appropriately. I know that's hard to say to people because that's not the first thing that comes to mind, but really that's how effective communication should be worked.
I heard someone say that the secret to staying married is to never say the first thing that comes to your mind or the second thing that comes to your mind, but instead to say the third thing that comes to mind. And it was said by a man who'd been married for a very long time. And so he probably knows what he's talking about. But yeah, sometimes when you're dealing with customers, and I deal with, you know, have this with clients too, because sometimes they'll send me a revision and I'm like, how stupid are you? You know, but, you know, not the second thing, but the third thing is usually a lot wiser and gentler.
I might have to go with you on that one.
Well, Paul, we've talked a lot about what not to do, but that's only half the story. So tell us a little bit, like, what should we do when we're dealing with the angry customer, the angry client, regardless of how legitimate we think the complaint is? What should we do? What should we have as our policy, our predetermined response to these situations?
Very first thing is listen. Listen to what that person has to say about the situation, really. Intently listen to it so you can understand what happened. Because if you don't really listen intently and all you hear are the first few phrases and it starts to anger you because it's not what you wanted to hear, you won't address it appropriately. And having the appropriate and correct information allows you to go back to figuring out what it is that went wrong that caused this problem. Understanding and reacting appropriately versus reacting inappropriately, then responding correctly. I know there's a lot of mumble-jumble words, but really it just is about listening. That's the very first thing. The second thing is do not blame. Do not blame. That you want to acknowledge the fact that there is a problem. You don't want to turn around and say, well, sir, you ordered the wrong part, and of course we're not going to refund you because we don't need to, because we already paid for it, you already bought it. That's the wrong response. And you hear that every so often too, that some places won't take a return because of whatever that policy is. Find out what that problem is and see how you can address it so that you can take responsibility and they can take accountability. Two different things that we're talking about here. And really feel what is going on here. Don't take it as a negative thing, because really it's not negative. It's just an experience that occurred. Learn from it. They can learn from it. You can learn from each other. Some serious things can happen if you don't listen and if you don't understand and you don't. These don't things mean that what you want to do is, like I said, listen. Take notes, whatever it is. Do the right thing and address it appropriately. Do some research. You know, that's the other thing. Research it a little bit. Ask the employee and look at your cameras, whatever it is that you need to really address it and really take a look at what happened instead of just getting all upset. Because the right thing is doing the right thing.
In the heat of the moment, when you're talking to the customer, I think that that listening and that empathy piece, or at least faking empathy as much as you can, I think the goal of that really is to diffuse. We want to diffuse the situation. We want to de-escalate the situation and help get everyone involved into a more rational and reasonable state of mind. And I heard an entrepreneur say that whenever he would, he said only one person can be in the angry boat. And so if they come in angry, you just get even more upset about the problem than they are. And then they go, oh, no, it's okay. It's not that big of a deal. You know, and I've had people do that to me. I'm like, man, that works, you know, because now I feel bad. I'm like, oh, am I overreacting or whatever? And, you know, that'll depend on the person. But if the customer doesn't feel like it's this, but it's this, you know, we're side by side facing the problem together versus being opposed to each other, that goes a long way to bringing about a more logical and rational state of mind. And then from there, you can actually begin to work toward a solution.
Absolutely. Solution. That is the word, right? Solution. We want to be a good listener. We want to be someone that's going to help each other gain some good vibes from this, because at the end of the day, we want the customer to be happy. Why? Because their best compliment to you is a referral.
Now I want to talk a little bit about solutions, like we just said, or resolutions. And this will vary a lot depending on the business that you have, how expensive your products or services are, the exact complaint situation by situation. But there's a few guidelines or kind of ideas that I think can help shape the resolution. The first is thinking about, you know, what kind of product or service you have, like how replaceable is it? How consumable is it? Things like food, you don't return, right? You're not going to return a banana to Kroger, right? That's not how that works. But bananas are super cheap, so they might just give you another one, right? So that's an easy resolution. For an item that's a lot more expensive, like if you purchase a vehicle and it has so many issues, it falls under lemon laws, then, you know, they have to give you a whole nother vehicle, even though that's really expensive. So a lot of it will depend on the industry that you're in, but if it's not a lemon, you know, they'll just fix it, right? They'll fix it and they'll, you know, it's like, oh, the seal on this door is not quite right. Okay, we'll re-glue it, get it back. Okay, you're good to go. And then, you know, maybe there's a gift card or a free oil change on your next visit or whatever the case may be. But we want to, when we're looking at resolution, we want to not only resolve the issue of, okay, this thing was broken, here's a new thing. We want to go above and beyond because we want them to feel like the customer, especially if it's a really legitimate complaint. You know, sometimes we've seen the videos online of the Karens, as we love to say, who are very unreasonable and irrational. And you as the business owner or as the manager have to make that judgment call of like of how reasonable it is. But if there is a way that you can go above and beyond to really make it right for the customer and make it easy and frictionless for them, it goes such a long way. And like we said in the intro, in the very beginning of this, we want to turn people from negative brand ambassadors to positive brand ambassadors. We want people to say, hey, yeah, you know, they messed up this thing one time, but they took such good care of me. They really cared, whatever the case may be. That engenders so much trust from the customer and so much understanding and I think a lot of loyalty. And I'll give an interesting example of this from my own personal experience. So back in 2023, I bought a brand new Tesla Model 3 Performance. I mean, just not a cheap car. And I took delivery of it, and the day I picked it up, it was cloudy, it was rainy, it was not easy to see small little imperfections in the exterior because the thing was like covered in water and it was like actively drizzling, which is, you don't have a lot of here in Denver. It was like one of the rare days where it felt like Seattle outside. And it was after I took delivery and after I got home and got it dried off and in the sun that I saw that there is a pretty large chip of paint missing from the hood of the, on the side of where the hood kind of brushes up against the other panels of the car. And so I took the car to a Tesla dealer for some other like little noise rattle thing that they fixed, and they looked at it and they said, yeah, that's definitely, you know, manufacturing error. Like didn't say, oh, well, that probably just happened as a rock chip on the highway, too bad for you, you took delivery. They didn't say that. They addressed it like, yeah, that's probably on our end. They said, okay, well, we can do a paint shop for you, but the people we worked with are backed up for 4 weeks.
Oh.
And I was like, that's not acceptable to me. And the vehicle would have to sit at the paint shop for the whole 4 weeks until they eventually got to it. And I'm like, I bought this thing because I drive for a living. Like, this is not an acceptable resolution for me. So then they instead gave me, and I forget the exact amount, but I think it was like a $250 or $400 service credit for any future visits. And I thought, done, great, absolutely easy. I don't really care that much about this tiny little chip of paint. You know, it's not that big a deal. And I really appreciated the way that they immediately took responsibility. They listened. They said, yes, we're going to make this right. Here's a way we can make it right. Oh, that doesn't work for you? Okay, here's another way that we can make it right. And that, you know, as a customer, that made me feel really good. It's like, okay, I can trust that if I spend $50,000+ on a brand new car from this company, that if I have an issue, they're going to take care of me.
That is great customer service. You know, at my salon, we've had issues like that. And in the 8 years that I've had a space here in Colorado for that, I've had probably 15, 20 customers that have had issues. Either their nail polish wore off too quick, or they had a chip that occurred, and you know, they didn't like their hair color, they didn't like their haircut, whatever it was. We automatically say, you know, come in for a free service, or we'll fix it for free, or here's a refund. You know, there's never about a challenge going, that's your fault. You know, it's your fault because you chose the wrong hair color. It's your fault because you wanted a haircut that didn't fit your style. It's your fault because you put your hands in water before you should have after you got your paint, your nails done. You know, you can't turn around and blame the customer just because they are not happy with what they came out looking like or what happened. You want to make sure that customer is happy. And if they don't return, they don't return, even though after you give them all this credit and whatnot. But you write the situation. That's the most important thing, is writing that situation. I've had customers in my whole 27, 28 years of my career where they have said, you know, it's your fault, it's your fault, it's your fault. And it could be because they didn't give me documentation for something, or maybe they gave me something and it was a duplicate documentation, but I didn't catch it. We're all human. There are errors that occur. And sometimes you have to just bite the bullet and say, here's your full refund. What else can I do to help make the situation better? Clearly, I'm not going to pay your taxes for you, because that was still your responsibility, whether I got that form or not. It's still your responsibility, right? I may have missed it, but you would have owed those taxes anyway. But what I can do and will do is I'm going to refund you the service. And on top of that, when you come see me next year, I'll even give you a discount. And I hope you do come back to see me, because I really enjoy working with you. You know, you can write things in different manners. Sometimes it's a free service. Sometimes here's a refund. Sometimes it could even be as nice of a gesture as, here, why don't we go out and I will take you out to eat and we can talk this over. And maybe you can smooth it out that way. Or, you know, you smoothed it out, but on top of that, here's a $20 gift card for Starbucks or Amazon or, you know, something that's useful to that individual.
Have you ever had a customer that was so difficult that you decided you didn't care about retaining them and actually decided not to work with them anymore?
Oh, absolutely. I just had one a year or two ago where they kept complaining and complaining and complaining. And at what point do you stop that badgering? And at what point do you stop responding, because you can't get anywhere? And this is not the best thing to do, but I had to. There was no other option, because every time we had a conversation, it was a badgering. Or every time it was a text or an email, it was all your fault, all your fault. And they never heard the apology or ever heard anything else. And I finally just waited for them to stop talking to me, and they left and went somewhere else. And I have no problem with that. I don't like saying to anyone who's gotten to that point in their business where they can turn away business. But sometimes it's best to do that, knowing that your plate and your level of patience, I'm going to call it,
your mental health
is worth more than that one customer. And I guarantee you, even if they went on the internet, which people have done, and they start slandering you left and right, you know you have enough customers who trust you. Especially, I've been in this business 28 years, and actually even longer, but 28 full successful years of being on my own without having to be under somebody or et cetera, et cetera. And it's okay to get a dozen or two. It's even okay to lose 100 people. I hate to say that, but you know, once you've had over 3,000 customers over that time, I don't think it's a bad thing that you have a less than 10%, let's just say, of bad reviews. I really don't think so, because in 28 years to have a couple of hundred people, that's what, 10 people a year? I don't think that's bad, honestly, Ben.
You know, you talk about losing customers. I just today was listening to a podcast where the CEO and founder of ButcherBox was being founded.
ButcherBox. I don't know what ButcherBox
is. They send you meat in the mail.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So it's kind of like HelloFresh, but it's only protein.
Oh.
And it's all like grass-fed beef, like really high quality and stuff. So, and you know, right now they lose 12,000 customers a month.
Oh.
You know, that's their churn, which is only still only 3%, which 3%, you know, churn per month is pretty good. It's not too bad for, especially for a $550 million a year business.
Absolutely.
But yeah, losing customers is part of the, it's part of the game of business. You're not, you know, we all wish we could keep every customer for forever, but there are times where, you know, people move away for, you know, move on from your company for a wide variety of reasons. But there are some times where you're happy for them to move on because they're just that difficult. And you as the business owner have to make that decision. I just recently fired a client of mine for kind of similar reasons of just them being extremely difficult, and not just being difficult, but taking time and demanding time away from the good clients. And that's kind of where, for me, it's kind of the balance equation comes into play. It's like, not only are you a massive headache for me, but you're making it harder for me to provide the level and quality of service to my good clients, the ones who pay well, who work with me consistently, who aren't a pain in my ass every week or every day. I don't want my service to them to suffer because you are calling and texting and emailing and harassing me all the time about these unreasonable requests. To me, I look at that and go, you know, at some point, the juice ain't worth the squeeze.
Absolutely.
And so that's, so as a business owner, like, as much as we talk about like the customer is always right, which I actually don't fully agree with, I think sometimes the customer is wrong. And sometimes, you know, it is worth going, you know, especially if they're like badgering an employee and being verbally abusive, like there is a point at which you got to tell them to shut up and, you know, protect your employee, because you don't want your employees to feel like, man, this, my boss is going to let people just abuse me all day long. And there's no, I have no defense over here. I've no one has my back. So there, it is a balance and it's an art, but we want to start from a position of listening and empathy and trying to resolve it. But you'll know, like, you know, like when someone is being really exceptionally unreasonable, especially if they begin to be verbally abusive, calling names, there's a point where you just tell them to find the door.
Absolutely. And it's time to move on.
Now, why does all this matter? It's not just about one customer. It's not just about, like we talked, brand ambassadors, but we want to talk about, like, from a business perspective, from a numbers perspective, why do we care about this so much as business owners? Number one, we want to retain customers because it helps with the LTV, or the lifetime value of that customer. The greater the lifetime value of your customers is, the healthier your business is, and the easier it is for you to maintain and grow your profitability over time. If you're constantly losing customers because your employees are making mistakes and you're not able to resolve them in a way to where they keep coming back, that increases your churn, which means that, you know, you've got more holes in the boat letting water in that you've got to, you know, bucket out, as it were, or, you know, air out of the balloon, whatever analogy you want to use. And it just makes it harder and harder for you to grow your business. Another thing, like we talked about, we want to decrease negative word of mouth. People always talk about positive word of mouth and how, you know, oh, you know, I heard from word of mouth and referrals and all that's great. We want that for sure. But we also want to avoid the negative word of mouth. We don't want, like, you know, I've had some bad experiences with companies over time, and I've like made it known to my friends and family, like, do not go here. Do not shop with these people. Do not buy from these people. They are terrible. And that's not what you want. That is going to do so much more damage than whatever the cost of resolving that is going to be. The final thing is, we also want to recognize what our cost of acquiring a customer is, and keep that in the equation when you're thinking about the cost of your resolution. And this is one of the reasons why we talk about CAC and LTV so much on this podcast, and we will continue to hammer these home as time goes on, because these metrics and others actually help give you a context for the value of the decisions you make on a day-to-day basis when you're in real life with real customers. Like, for example, if you know it costs you $1,000 worth of advertising to get a single customer, spending $150 to resolve an issue with them and to keep them is well worth the investment.
I would agree 100%. But the lifetime value is very important. I think that is not addressed often enough. I'll just address it for a couple of seconds here, but really understanding what that means. And that one person, that value of that person is unmeasurable. It really is. If they are a person that refers you over and over and over again. So it was worth having them for the first 5 years, and it was worth hearing about the complaints, and it was worth and worth and worth. That value is huge. Who cares about the cost at that point, because you've had them 5 years and they've brought you 50 other customers? There is a metric there, but I'm going to take away the cost, because there is no money I could put on that value of that client and the value of that time that it was spent over those years, even more unmeasurable, because that person, he may be or she may be a little more difficult. But this is the word, but everything follows after the word, because everything before is nothing, right? But the value of it has been unmeasurable due to the referrals that that person has given to you. The best compliment.
And referrals cost you nothing.
Thank you.
Those are free customers.
The best compliment.
Yeah. It's so great, because, you know, like we talked about the CAC, if you have to, you know, versus spending X amount on advertising to get that customer, if you get them for free,
thank you,
then that's even better for you. Then your CAC to LTV ratio is even better.
Absolutely. That $1,000 doesn't mean it's a blink of an eye for the value of what was brought to the table.
So these are the things that we want you to think about as you are coming up with your system and your process for dealing with angry customers. And this is going to have to be something that you'll have to customize to your unique business and your unique situation. Every business is, every product, every service, every customer interaction is unique. But you can still come up with systems and put them in place. And one of the best safeguards against having a bad customer experience compound into multiple customer experiences or negative word of mouth is to preemptively put a system in place, processes and procedures for how you are going to handle customer complaints. You don't need to address every issue. You know, we don't need a government legal document that's 6,000 pages, right? But if you at least predetermine some things and continue to adapt that and modify it as time goes on and you gain experience with dealing with negative customer interactions, you're going to be a lot better prepared to handle those situations when they come up.
100% agreed.
Well, we thank you all for listening. We really appreciate you spending your time with us as we try to help you make more money. We want to hear from you. Leave a comment down below or reach out to us using the information in the description and tell us what you do to help keep your customers happy even when your company messes up. Thanks for listening, and we will see you in the next one.